Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Lamites. We are 16 lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamet Ches Amid Beis, the two dots, Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael and Asunu Batzara Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refu Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. Today's daf is also being learned for Imli Nishmas, Yeshaya Ben Chayim, and Aaron Shloima Ben Yisrael Tzvi HaLevi. So, believe it or not, we're holding at the very last daf of Perek Yesh Noichlin. Not to give it away, but the next Perek is actually going to very much pick up on the same note. Perek Misha Meis, for all intents and purposes, could have just been part of Perek Yesh Noichlin. It's going to be a continuation. We're then going to learn Perek Get Poshut, and we're ready. Zoichalim V'rayadin. We're not far from Hadron Alach, Maseches Bava Basra. We're then going to start Sanhedrin, but we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. Either way, so we're 16 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We're continuing to discuss halachos related to Yerusha, halachos related to a Shchiv Merah. Sokti Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. We learned in a Braisa, Shchiv Merah, She'amar. So there was a man that was lying on his deathbed, and he turns to the people that are gathered around. He has a minion, and he tells them, "You should know that Pliny owes me money. Mono yeshli eitzel Pliny. I have a mono by Pliny." So the Braisa says, "Ho edim koisvin afal pisha emakir." The edim that are there, they could immediately take out their pens and papers, and they could document, they could transcribe exactly what it is they just heard, even though they have no idea whether or not what this person is saying is true or it's not true. In other words, they're not going to write for a fact that this Pliny that the Shchiv Merah said owes him money, because they don't know. What they're going to write is what they heard. They're going to say that we were at somebody's deathbed, and we heard this person say moments before his neshama left this world that mono yesh li eitzel pliny. So if they want to write that, that's something they can do. Lefichach, being that they have a right to write what it is that they heard the Shchiv Merah say without verifying whether in fact it's true, kishahu goyva tzarech lahavi raya. In the event that somebody's going to want to use the shtar now, the yesoimim, to collect, the Yisoyman will first have to bring a raya that in fact what the Shchiv Merah said is the case. Meaning they can't rely on what the Edom wrote because the Edom have a right to write it even without verifying it. No, you can't even transcribe, you can't even document what it is you heard unless you do your due diligence. So if the Edom know that yes, this person owes him money and the Edom verified it, then they would have a right to write it. If not, not lefichach. It's for that reason. Kishu goyva ain't tzarech lavi raya. At this point, if anyone's going to be goyva with the shtar, with this document, you won't have to bring a raya because we can rely on the fact that the edim knew about it. So this is no different than any shtar raya, which is something that you'd be able to collect from. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Amar li Huna. Rav Huna to us. But Rav Nachman said that I heard from Huna. Tana, he had a braisa that had the names in the reverse. It's the same exact discussion. Same names, but in the reverse order. Rameir said, "Ein koisvin." The Chachamim said, "Ein koisvin." And the Chachamim said, "Koisvin." In other words, we have a machloikis. Shchiv Merah she'amar mona yeshli eitzel pliny. Edim hear it. Can they write and document what it is they heard without first verifying whether it is in fact the case or not? It's a machloikis Rameir and the Chachamim. Who said what? We have two versions. We have the initial version, and then we have Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna's version. Says the Gemara. This is Rav Nachman talking. V'af Rameir loy Amar Rameir, who in the second Nusach, in Rav Nachman's Nusach holds Ein Koisvin, the reason Rameir said Ein Koisvin is Mishum Bezdin Tain, because he was worried about a Bezdin that's going to make a mistake. Meaning, the reason Rameir in the second version, or the Chachamim in the first version, would hold that the Edom can't simply write what it is they heard, is because we're concerned that a Bezdin is going to be presented with this shtar, and they're going to assume that if the Edom wrote a shtar, probably they were makir, when in fact they weren't, and as a result, it's vulnerable that something can happen. Now, if Bezdin would make that assumption, Bezdin would be making a mistake. Because if really the halacha would be that you can write afal pisha e makirin, well then the halacha would be that ain't goyvin, and what's the problem? All you're doing is simply documenting what it is you heard the Shechiv Merah said. But we're afraid that Bezin's going to make a mistake. And being that we're afraid that Bezin's going to make a mistake, there is this chash that if you're in court and there's some din Torah going on, and somebody presents Bezin with a shtar, Bezin's going to assume this shtar is a bona fide shtar. And it's for that reason, Rameir, in the second version, or the Chachamim, the first version, says, Ein Koisvin. It's because we're afraid that if you're going to write, Bezdin will assume that probably it was verified, when in fact it might have not been verified. And therefore, because of the Chashash of Bezdin Tayin, Bezdin and the Chachamim said that this is something that you shouldn't do. In other words, really, there's no reason they shouldn't write it. And the halacha will be, lefichach, if you want to be gaiva, you can't gaiva, unless you bring a raya. There's no reason that shouldn't be the case. But because of the chash bez din tayin, therefore there's a yei shoimrim, there's a shita satanam that says, you can't do this. Amar Rav Dimi ben Nahardas, Rav Dimi ben Nahardas said, hilcha, so you want to know what the halacha is, ein choshishin lebez din tayin. The halacha is that we're not chayish for a bez din tayin. In other words, the halacha is that if the Edom want to write it, they can write it. And lefichok shu goiva tzarech lahavi raya, you'll have to bring a raya. Why aren't you worried that maybe Bezin's going to be presented with this, and as a result, Bezin's going to think that maybe it was verified? Well, not chayish for a Bezin type, which makes a lot of sense. You would think that Bezin is zrizenheim, they're held to a very, very high standard, and if we're worried that Bezin's going to start making mistakes, so eich matzino yadeno viragleinu in business transactions and in any walk of life. So we have faith in the judicial system, and as a result, we are not chayish for a Bezin time. But the Gemara says, is that true? We're not chayish for Bezin time. Why is this different than something Rava said? Amar Rava. Rava said, in chotz and elam ke makirin. So chalitza is something that has to be done in the presence of Bezin. Right? You can't do chalitza without a Bezin. What about Gerushin? Does Gerushin have to be b'fnei Bezdin? So that's a famous Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason in Parshas Kiseitz, he says that Gerushin has to be in the presence of Bezdin. There's many rayas from Gemaras, ostensibly, that Gerushin really does not have to be done b'fnei Bezdin. This is one of the Marim Mekoymus that maybe Targum Yonason wasn't really written by Yonason ben Azil, right? Big misnomer that Targum Yonason was written by Yonason ben Azil, and there's already Kadmoinim that seem to have believe that, but today it's well known, the Chidah writes about this, Barichas and all of his Svarim, Masha already says it, that Targum Yonason for sure was not written by Yonason ben Azil, and some of the rayas are, there's so many Targum Yonasons that we don't pass in like, but Al-Kapadam, this is one, where Targum Yonason says that Gerushin has to be done with Nebezin, whereas there would seem to be Kama Gemara's not the way, famous Chuvas from the Nei Debi Huda, Rav Kivegas, and Hedjan Daf Beis, Vadvar Matikin, but the bottom line is that although Gerushin could be, doesn't have to be done with Nebezin, but Chalitza, that has to be b'fnei Bezdin. Stating that, Rava said that if Bezdin is going to preside over a chalitza, they have to be makir. They have to know that the chaylitz is the yavam, and they have to know that the chalitza is the yavam. I mean, they have to do their due diligence, as opposed to what? Maybe as long as Bezdin sees two people that decide that they want to go through with this chalitza process, they have no idea who's who, they didn't get yichas briefs, they didn't see shtari kindushin, they didn't see death certificates, they just see all this playing out, and they'll say, we'll watch it, we'll observe it, we'll document it, and then we'll figure out later whether, in fact, this was a proper chalitza. Rava says you can't do that. Ein chaltin elam ke makir. Additionally, ve'ein memanin elam ke makir. What's mion? Mion is when a ketan is married, only kedushay dirabonan. So midday raisa, a ketan could get married. How? Her father could be mekabel kedushin on her behalf. Hespiti nasati le'ish hazeh. If one of her other kroivim wants to be mekabel kedushin, but mokum where the father's not alive, they can do so. However, then the kedushin is only going to be a kedushin derabbanan. Now, if kamina is, if a girl decides that I'm not happy in this marriage, in a regular derisa thing of marriage, obviously she can't leave the marriage. But when it comes to kedushin miyun, this is something that she would be allowed to do. Now, miyun also needs bezdin. It's a Mishnah Sanhedrin Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Miyun has to be done b'fnei shloish. It has to be done in front of a bezin. So here too said Rava that the bezin that's going to preside over a miyun has to make sure that they recognize the girl and the man. They know they're married. They know this is a proper miyun. Again, as opposed to what? As opposed to saying, we'll observe the miyun and we'll figure out later whether this was meaningful or was not meaningful. So again, Rava said, Ein chultzen elon ke makirin, vein beman elon ke makirin, talking about besen. Rava continued to tell Aficha, because for that reason, koisven get chalitza, v'get miyun, v'afal pisha ein makirin. It's for that reason, if there are witnesses that saw Bezdin preside over a chalitza or over a miyun, if they want to write down and say that the chalitza took place, that the miyun took place, they can. Why? Because there's an understanding that if Bezdin presided over it, must be their makir, that all the parties are the real parties, and as a result, you can write it down, and it's a clear testimony, and it's something that you would be able to rely on. Now, the halacha is that if you want to go ahead and write it, you could write it. Meaning, it sounds like Rava said, "Ein chaltzen elam ke makirin, ve'ein memanin elam ke makirin." Why do you have to be makir? Let them not be makir. And even if you're not going to be makir, you should be able to write it down. And when you're going to write it down, being that we're not chayish for a bez din tayin, so nothing bad is going to come from it anyways. Meaning, Rava paskin da locha, ein choltzen elam ke makir, ve'ein memanin elam ke makir. Why do you have to be makir? The teretz probably is because if the edom are going to write what they saw, you're going to assume that the Bezdin was Makir, and as a result, there will be a Bezdin Toyin on the other end, and they're going to rely on this Chalitza, on this Miyun, when in fact, Kubi wasn't a Chalitza, wasn't a Miyun, because really, they were a Makir. So because of the chshash of a bezdin toyin, it's a little counterintuitive. Because of the chshash of a bezdin toyin, so therefore Rava paskin ein choltzin elam ke makirin, ve'ein memanin elam ke makirin. You can't do it without being makir. Let the Edom write it, and we'll know that Bezdin can do it without being makir, and as a result, no chashash will ever come from it. Obviously, because we're chayish for the Bezdin Toyin. So what do you see from here? You see that you're chayish for a Bezdin Toyin. Gemara says, lie. Bezdin basa beidina loy daiki, Bezdina basa edem daiki. Kubit is a nafkemino. Meaning, sometimes we're chayish for a Bezdin Toyin, sometimes we're not chayish for a Bezdin Toyin. We're chayish for a Bezdin Toyin that Bezdin may assume that another Bezdin did the right job. But we're not chayish for a Bezdin Toyin to assume that Bezdin's going to assume that edem did the right job. So being that over here, what we're dealing with is chalitza, we're dealing with miyun, which is something that has to be bifnei bezdin. So over there, this is a maisa bezdin that's taking place. If it's a maisa bezdin that takes place, so over there, you're chayish for a bezdin toyin, because we're concerned that the next bezdin that's going to see this is going to assume that the bezdin would have not allowed it to be written down unless they were makir, unless they did their due diligence. So when it comes to a bezdin assuming another bezdin made a mistake, that's something that we're less concerned for. Therefore, there's a chashash bezdin tayin. You can't allow bezdin to do it without writing, because the second bezdin is for sure going to assume that bezdin might have done the right job. As opposed to when it comes to edim, over there it's different. So the bottom line is, are you chayish for bezdin tayin? You're not chayish for bezdin tayin. When it comes to edim, you're chayish for bezdin tayin. You're not chayish for bezdin tayin. When it comes to bezdin, then you are chayish for bezdin tayin. Zok to Mishnah Vayit. So this Mishnah is really a continuation for the previous Mishnah, which was discussing the halachos of kinyan peiros, Kinyan Haguf. So what was the Mishnah? The Mishnah was on the Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, and the Mishnah discussed if somebody writes over his Nechasim to his son, Mehayoy Malachamisa. So somebody wants to give his son a gift, and he tells him, I'm giving you the Nechasim, Mehayoy, the Guf of the Nechasim today, and then after I die, you'll Yarshin everything. But in the interim, as long as I'm alive, I want to maintain the Peiros. This segued into the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Haguf, or Kinyan Peiros is Lav Kinyan Haguf. So again, what's the halacha if somebody gives over his Nechasim to his son? Me'ayom Olach Hamisa. So the halacha is that the son right now owns the Guf, but he can't really do anything with it. Because who has the Kinyan Peiros? The father has the Kinyan Peiros. If and when the father dies, so then the halacha is that the son is going to yash and everything. So the Mishnah of Toilesh Umachal L'chol Misha Yerza. So the first halacha of the Mishnah is that this father who maintained the Kinyan Peiros for himself, if he wants to take the Peiros and feed it to somebody else, this is something that he has a right to do. Now he owns the Paris. So what's the Chiddush? So the Chiddush is that you would have thought that maybe his Kenyan Paris that he left over for himself is only Negeya if he wants to eat it for himself. But maybe to be Toilish Umaychel, to cut the Paris and give it to somebody else, maybe that already not. That's the first Chiddush of the Mishnah. Second Chiddush of the Mishnah is Umashe Niach Tolush Harehu Shel Yarshin. The halacha is that let's say he cut Paris and then he ended up dying. So who gets it? Does the son who owns the guf get it? Or does the father get it? So the Mishnah says that being that he cut it already, so it's considered not part of the field. If it's not part of the field, all his Yarshin are going to get it. Now his son is probably one of the Yarshin, right? Obviously. But at the same time, he's not going to get it exclusively. He's going to have to share it together with the other Yarshin. So really, this is like the sequel to the previous Mishnah. And the Mishnah told us two halachas. The first halacha is that when the father keeps the Kenyan Paris for himself, not only can he use the Paris to eat, but if he wants to give it out, he could do that too. The second Chiddush is that anything that he had cut and was tolish at the time that he died, the halacha is going to be divided amongst the Yarshin. Now, what's the obvious diak from the second chiddush of the Mishnah? It's the way the Gemara begins, tolish in mechub elai. It sounds like that if the father would have cut peiros and then he died, so then the halacha is that gets distributed amongst all the Yarshin. But let's say it would be attached. So then the halach is loy. It wouldn't be distributed. Rather, that's considered part of the karka. And if the son gets the entire karka, because that was the gift, not als dina yerusha, als the matana that he got, so it sounds like anything that's mechuber, he's going to be able to get, right? And it makes sense. It's mechuber the karka, so it's considered to be part of the karka. Feita gemara kasha, vatanya, we learned in a braisa, shomin es amechubarin lelekeach. The halach is that when we do a shuma with anything that's mechuber, so we have to reimburse the payrois that are attached. So what does this mean? So if you look at the Rashbam, second line from the top, HaKoysev kol nechasov mehayoyim lachamisa. It's the second half of the line. If somebody wrote over all this nechasov mehayoyim lachamisa, and who did he write it to? The b'nai, to his son. The case of Arm. Mishnah. And then the son went, and he sold the nechasim while his father was alive. And then the father died. So the halach is zocha halokeach, the mash mochalei haben, the gufashal karka. So the halach is the lekeach is zoicha in the gufakarka. If, however, there are any peiros that are attached to the karka, that loikeach is not going to get ela begufa shel karka, because all he gets is the guf of the karka. Avol bepeiros, as relates to the peiros, afal gafta mechubarim, even though they're attached, hein liyarshim. Right, that already is going to belong to the yarshim. Lefichach, it's for that reason, shaman oisoi liloikeach, we make a shuma. And he has to give the value to the Yarshan. So here we're talking about the same exact case where someone gave over a piece of property to his son, and then the father ended up dying, so now the Lekeach is going to be Zoich in his Mekach, right? As long as the father was alive, Ein Lekeach Klum, the Mishnah said. But now that the father died, now he's going to get it. What's he going to get? The Karka that he bought. What about Peris that are Mechubar? So the Peris and the Mechubar is up the price and he doesn't keep. Therefore, Shaman is a Mechubar and Lekeach. We have to come up with a Shuma, and he has to give the value of the Peris. He doesn't have to tear the Peris off and give them to the Yarshan, but we figure out how much it's worth, and he has to write a check to make the Yarshan whole. But what do you see from here? That what's Mechubar to the Karka is not considered part of the karka. So from the Mishnah, it's mashma mashin yech tolush areishal yarshin. But whatever's mechuber, if you give over me'ayom lachamis, that's considered part of the karka. And here you have a mefurish brayshah that says the opposite. Amar ulu ulu said lekasha kam bebnoi kam ba'acher. You have to say there's a chilek between where he's giving it to his son, where the shaila now is, does the son get the peiros that are mechuber, or whether it's an acher, some random person, and the shaila is whether he's going to get the peiros that are mechubar. In our Mishnah, the father gave the son mehayoyim ulaachar misa. And now the question is whether the son himself, after the father dies, is going to keep the mechubar or he's not going to keep the mechubar. The shaila is, does the son keep it? Oh, there he's going to keep the mechubar. Over here, the son went and sold it. So now the shaila is delekeach. Does he keep the mechubar? Does not keep the mechubar. Oh, it's a shiloh about some random person. They're like, then we say he's not going to keep it. What's the difference? So the Gemara says the difference. There's a svara that a father wants his son to have more. So where it's a shiloh of his son, so there we assume when he gave the gift, He gave it by in Yafa. He meant that you're going to keep the goof and any peris that a mechubah you're going to get also. Over here, where the end user is a random person, well, the keach, someone that the father didn't even know, it's going to be different. Now, this is a chiddush for two reasons. Number one, l'chura, you would think this is more of a halachic shaila. Do we view the peris that a mechubah as being part of the karka, or do we not view it as being part of the karka? So you see that there's no definitive answer. It really depends on the das of the makna. The Dasir Akoina is pretty straightforward. He'll take as much as he can get. As much as you're willing to give him, he's willing to accept. But from the Das of the Makna's perspective, it sounds like that's what this is totally in. And if there's a Svar, he'll keep it. And if you don't have that Svar, he's not going to keep it. But this is even a bigger Chiddush. And the reason is because how did the Lekeach get it? The Lekeach got it Dorech the son. So if there's a Svar of Hoyle Vataitish Ladam Kroy Veitzel Benoi, and the Lekech bought it from Benoi, Mamacha Risha in Lesheni, calls Choshe Tavaliyadi. So you would think that if the son would have gotten all of it, so the Lekech also should get all of it. Kamash Shmuman, that when the father gives it to the son, it's only a viffle, the son's going to end up keeping it. But he carves out that I'll give it to you if you're going to use it, but if you're selling it already, then already you're not the one that's benefiting from it. Some other guy's benefiting from it. I don't care so much about that guy. And as a result, there the halacha is going to be different. Zok the Mishnevayt. So we conclude. This is the last Mishnah here in Perek Yeshnoichlin, and it's a real Yeshnoichlin, the Mishnah. Let's say somebody died, and he left over a bunch of sons. And some of them were older, and some of them were younger. So the halacha is, in Agdoilim Esparnesin al Yudei Haktanim, v'lei Haktanim nizoinen al Yudei Hagdoilim. So the fact that we need to know for this Mishnah is that back in the day, older children would spend more money on clothing. Younger children spent more money on food. So it was more expensive to outfit the older sons, but less expensive to feed them, more expensive to feed the younger sons, less expensive to outfit them. So the question is like this. If somebody leaves over older sons and younger sons, there could be a havamina that before they do the Yerusha, right, while the money is still in what's known as tfusas habayis in the vernacular, right? It's still in the possession of the estate. So you would think that maybe what we should do is we should say, okay, all the banim gedolim, you're going to take all the money you need for all your fancy suits, and all the banim ketanim, you're going to take, I don't know, all the lunches and snacks that you need. And then, when we take all this off the top, then we'll come and we'll do a regular chalukah. The pchar will get pishnayim, etc., etc. It's going to play itself out. So this mishnah is coming to be afuke that. No. Hiniach bonim gedoilim viktanim, eina gedoilim, misparnis an al yedei aktanim. You don't allow the gedoilim to be misparnis, the Rashbam says, levush uksos, we don't outfit the gedoilim on the cheshmin of the ktanim. V'loy aktanim nizoinim. What does nizoinim mean? Zok Rashbam, mizoinis mamish. We don't feed the ktanim on the cheshmin of the gedoilim. Elachokim mishavah. Everyone takes what they take, and then everyone spends the money accordingly the way they need it. But this is not something that comes off the top. The gadol doesn't have to lose because of the cotton's food. The cotton doesn't have to lose because of the gadol's clothing. Nasu hagdoilim, yisu haktan. Let's say the gdoilim, one of the older brothers, got married before they did the chalukah. So his marital expenses were covered by the tfusas habayis. So then the halach is when the ketanim get married, they also get from the tfusas habayis. Meaning we don't say, okay, before the chalukah, the older son got married, now you divided it. So now when the younger son wants to get married, you'll get married from your cheshmen. That's not fair. At the end of the day, if we paid for the wedding expenses, etc., from the tfusas habayis for the gadol, it's only fair. We do it for the katan as well. Vim amru ketanim harei onu noisim gederach shenasasim atem. Let's say the ketanim say, we want to get married the same way that you got married. We don't listen. Whatever the father gave, he gave. So the Gemara is going to ask my kamar, and the Gemara is going to clarify, we'll give it away. But what the Gemara is going to say is that let's say one of the older sons got married while the father was alive. Oh, so this is like a basic shaila. So the man was alive, he married off five of his kids, and he paid for it. And then the father died, and there was a Yerusha. Everybody split the money equally. And now the sixth child is going to get married. Father's not alive anymore. The sixth child says, I don't understand. The Tata paid for all five of your chasanas. Now I have to take from my Yerusha to pay for my own wedding? I hear. Zok the Mishnah. Now already you're pushing your luck. So if the older son got married from the Tfusas Habayis, so then it's only fair. That's reasonable. That makes perfect sense. That the cotton should also be able to get married from the Tfusas Habayis. But just because one of the older sons got married before the father died, even though in the world of what's fear, I can hear it a little bit, but then already ain't shaymulam. Ela mashen nosalam, ever yonosal. Whatever the father gave, the father gave. So this is all true if somebody left over a bunch of sons. What if he left over daughters? So the Mishnah is going to literally repeat word for word. It's the same halach. Iniach banos k'dos v'kitanos. Let's say somebody left over no boys, all girls. So the girls are now the ones that are going to yarish. And he left over older daughters and younger daughters. Einak doylos mispar nesoy sayudei aktanis. Well, aktanis is zayin sayudei agdoylos. Again, the older daughters need more money for clothing. The younger daughters need more money for food. Doesn't matter. Everybody takes their chelik and figures it out. Elochokos b'shal. Nosu gedoylois, yesu ketanois. In the event that one of the gedoylois got married from the tfusas abayis, the ketanois also have a schus to get married from the tfusas abayis. V'mamru ketanois v'enu nois k'derach shen nesasam hatem. Let's say the ketanois said, we want to get married the same way you got married. Meaning, like we said earlier, the father had paid while he was alive for their wedding. In Shaymalem, we don't listen. And the Mishnah concludes, that really, if you think about this Mishnah, what emerges is a chumrah in banos over banim. So ordinarily, when it comes to Yerusha, the ben is the more chumr, right, in the world of kal v'chomer. So you would say the ben is the chumr, the bas is the kal. The ben yarshins exclusively. Bas doesn't yarshin b'makom aben, but this is actually a chumrah in banos over banim. How so? Shehab banos nizoynes ala banim, vein nizoynes ala banos. If a man dies and he leaves over sons and daughters, this is the next mishnah that we're going to learn. The first mishnah, Perek Mishnah Meis. So the halach is the sons yarshin, the banos, however, nizoynes. The girls get nizoynes from the yerusha of the sons. So even though the sons yarshin, they have a chiyuv to take from their yerusha and now support the girls. It's a tanaik suba, but again, tomorrow's staff. But if a man dies and he leaves over only girls, so then the halach is one girl doesn't get mezoinis from the other girl, even though she needs it. Meaning, even though they're eating disproportionately, but it doesn't matter. That's already something you're not going to be able to do. So you see that the bas is mezoinis from the ben, but she's not nezoinis from the bas. And the Mishnah says, zechayme bebanis bebanim. That really, this is a chumah that you find the banis over banim. Either way, pretty straightforward. Mishnah, a resha and a seifa, the resha about the ben, the seifa about the bas. The Gemara now is going to go through this Mishnah. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hay gadol achi de lavash v'ichsi mi besa may de avadam. Let's say a man dies, he leaves over yarshim and an estate, and the oldest of the brothers, he went and he swiped a corporate credit card and he bought himself some nice clothing. So the halach is ma da avad avad. Whatever he did, he did. Now, the Rashbam says, it sounds like he wasn't supposed to do a lechatchila, but at the same time, no, if you swiped already, you swiped. Zolzan. It is already what it is. Right, the Gemara, Rava said that on the Antinah, we learned in our Mishnah, in Agdoilim, Espanis, and Alaktanim. So what does it sound like? It sounds like from the Mishnah that no, the Gadol can never be outfitted on the Cheshbon of the Ktanim. What do you mean, ma da avad avad? The Mishnah says it's halacha. All the every Mishnah in Shas, it's ma'da avad avad. Of course not. If you can't do it, you can't do it. And if you violate it, I'll sue you, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. So what is Rava saying? Hay gadol achi do lavash v'ichse mi beis ma'da avad avad. Rava and Amayra, one of the great Amayram of all time, but you can't go kenegan a mafurish a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, masnisen b'shircha. The Mishnah is talking about a shircha. Now if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says that some have the gears of sidcha. So it's not clear if the word is shircha or sidcha. What is clear is the definition of the word. And the definition in English is this, it's talking about the Mishnah, maybe, where the guy's a batla. Meaning, you're talking about a person where, yeah, he's older, doesn't do anything, he's not enhancing the estate in any way, shape, or form, but at the same time, he likes to dress well. So he says, perfect, his father died, he has access to money, he's going to go, that already is not good. When Rava said, Hay gadol achi de lavash v'ichse mi besa, may de avad avad, he's talking about where this man that died, he left over a whole geshef, there's a lot of business dealings, and this older brother is now the one that's going to represent the business interests of the father. So he needs a power suit, a power tie. He needs to look a certain way in order for him to be able to do what he's doing. So Rava said that I know the Mishnah says that ein hagdoilim misparnis and al yedei aktanim, but that's talking about a shircha. It's talking about a batlin where the guy is not doing anything. If, however, the person's actually representing the interest, it's not a legitimate business expense, and there's no reason that everybody shouldn't be obligated to contribute. But the Gemara says shircha pshita. If the Mishnah is talking about a batlin, then it's pasha. Meaning bishlam, if the Mishnah means even a gadol that's actually helping and enhancing the estate, then the halach is that he's not misparin as ayidei the katan. I hear the chiddush, but if we're talking about someone that's not adding any value, I need a Mishnah for that. Mar says yes, because mal d'tema, I would have thought nichaluhu d'loy linful. I would have thought that at the end of the day, even though this older brother is again a batlin balaz, but at the same time, maybe the younger brothers still want their older brother to look good. There's still some svara. Listen, the father's not alive anymore, so he's the patriarch in the mishpacha. So he should look like a decently well-kempt person. Kamashmala, not Abba Enochinami. Let's say he's really representing the interest. If it's a bona fide business expense, so then the halachas, you can take it from the partnership, you can take it from everybody. Nasu Gedoilim, Yesu Kitanim. Right? So the Mishnah then got a little bit ambiguous. We explained it, knowing the Gemara, but the Mishnah said as follows: Nasu Gedoilim Yisu Aktanim. If the Gedoilim got married from the estate, the Ktanim have a schus to get married as well. They don't have to take the wedding expenses from their own chelik. Vim Amru Ktanim Harei Anu Noisim Kiderech Shenasasim Atem Ein Shoyim Lem Ela Mashen Naslem Aviim Nasam. So the Gemara says, "My Kamar, what does that mean?" Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, "Hachi Kamar Nasu Gedoilim Lacham Misas Aviim Yisu Ktanim Lacham Misas Aviim." If the Gedoilim got married after the father died and the money was taken from the estate, so then the Ktanim have the same exact schos. Avol Nasu Gedoilim B'Chayi Aviim. But let's say the Gedoilim got married while the father was alive. Amru Ktanim, and then the Ktanim came Lacham Misas Aviim after the father died, and they said, "Harei Onu Noisim Kiderech Shenasasim Atem." Why is it fear that the Tata paid for your wedding and I have to pay for my own wedding? Father gave a gift while he was alive. He gave a gift. Right? It is what it is. What are you supposed to do? But at the same time, these other siblings have no chiv to contribute to this wedding. Either way, hiniach bonois, gedoilois, viktanois, and really, it could have said v'chulu over here. So from here, the two dots till hadran aloch yesh noichlin. The Gemara is going to pivot a little bit, and the Gemara is going to discuss a shiloh that's really not a Yesh Noichlin shiloh. This is a shiloh that you would expect to find more in the back end of Masechtas Ksubis, specifically Perek Isha Shenaflu, the sugis and chas that talk about Nechsem Elog. In fact, if you learn Perek Isha Shenaflu, you will find it over there. It comes up in Perek Achoivu, Perek Amafkid, some of the hard prokim, and the hard sugis and chas. And the Gemara is going to go to the root of understanding the geder of the schus that a husband has in his wife's nechsem alone. So we know that the halacha is that if a woman gets married and she brings money into her marriage, the husband has schusim in that money. Now, what's the nature of that schus? It depends. If the money is classified as nechse tzoin barzel, so then the halacha is that the husband owns whatever it is 100%, stating that he has an obligation to return the value of those assets at the time that the marriage is terminated. So, for example, if a woman gets married and she brings $10,000 of savings into her marriage, to the extent that that money is classified as nechsei tzoin barzel, the husband, not only did he get married, but he also earned $10,000, but at the same time, he has an interest-free loan. He now has an IOU, an obligation, to return the $10,000 if and when the marriage is terminated. In fact, that chiyuv to return the $10,000 was written in the ksuba. It's part and parcel of the ksuba. And that chiyuv mirrors all the chiyuvei ksuba ki yodua from Maseches Ksubas. It's possible, however, for a woman to get married, come into her marriage with money, and that money will be classified not as nechsei tzoin barzel, but rather as nechsei milug. And if it's classified as nechsimuk, then the halach is different. Then what we say is that really the woman maintains ownership of the asset, whatever it is that she brought into the marriage. But at the same time, any income, any payros, or proverbial payros, literal payros if it's a field, proverbial payros if it's some other income-producing asset. The halach is, it's the husband that's going to be the beneficiary of that income. So it's very different. Nechsei tzoyim barzol, the husband is the one that owns the asset. He just has a chiyuv based on whatever the value of the asset was at the time that they get married to give that back to her if and when the marriage is terminated. Nechsei milug, the woman maintains ownership of the asset. He has a schus to benefit from any income that the asset produces. In the event that the woman dies, so then the halacha is a baal z'yerush eshtoy, and then for sure he's going to yarish on that asset, and now it's going to be his, right? That's easy. But as long as they're alive, what we're going to assume is that she's the one that owns the underlying asset, and the husband is going to have a schus peiros, which means any income that this asset produces. Which means that whenever you talk about nechsem alog, so you have this interesting partnership. You have the woman who owns the underlying asset, the keren, and you have the man who owns the peiros. He owns whatever it is that this asset is going to produce. The Chachomim in different places in Shas had a little bit of a suffix. How are you supposed to view the schus that a husband has? B'nechse ishtoi. Bau lekeach hava or yerush hava. Do we view a husband, a married man, who has a schus in the nechse malug of his wife as being a lekeach? We view his schusim in the nechse malug as if he's a lekeach, as if he's someone that bought the schusim. Now, he never bought it, he just got married. But we look at him as if he actually bought it, and he has the schusim that a lekeach would ordinarily have, or a very interesting tzad, Baal Yerush. We view the Baal not as being a lekeach, but we view him as being a Yerush. And the schusim that he has in the Nechsem Alug are equivalent to the schusim that a person would have in any asset that he ever yarshin. Now, in reality, is it lekeach? Is he a Yerush? He's none of the above. He got married, and Chazal, it's Tanai Ksuba. They gave him Schusim in the Nechsem Alug. But at the same time, Chazal felt like they wanted to stereotype it. They wanted to give it a name. They wanted to classify it. They wanted to take it and stoop it into a bucket. So the question is, which bucket does it go into? Does it go into the Lekech bucket, even though he's not real Lekech? Or does it go into the Yerush bucket, even though he's for sure not a Yerush? He's alive. So what kind of Yerush is he? Right? So the question is, Baal Lekech Hava or Baal Yerush Hava? Now, this is something that's going to play itself out in the Gemara that we're going to learn. The Rashban speaks to that right away, that the Shaila Baal Lekech Hava, Baal Yerush Hava is true Bein Mechayim, Bein Lacha Moise. Meaning, if we assume that the husband is a lekeach in terms of his schus that he has in the Nechsem Alug while they're married, then even after she dies, when the husband now is going to own the entire Nechsem Alug, he's going to own not just the Peiros, he's going to own the Guf, because Baal Yerush is Ishtai, right? It's a Shaila, they rise at the Rabban, but for sure he's going to own everything. He'll still be viewed as a lekeach. Because if he's a lekeach mishas nesuin, so we already said that his schusim in the nechsem alug is b'teiros lekeach, so after he dies, he's vaita going to be a lekeach. Now, this is a chiddush for two reasons. Number one, mechtei said has to be that way. Okay, no, that's what Chazal said. It's a chiddush for another reason, because a husband really has more schusim in the nechsem alug after his wife dies than he has while she's alive. While she's alive, all he has is a schus peiros. After she dies, then already he has everything. So even if you want to tell me that where he was a lekeach, Michayim, we're going to still view him as a lekeach lachamoisai, that makes sense for where he was a lekeach Michayim. But where he wasn't a lekeach Michayim, why should we view him as a lekeach lachamoisai? He should zicha be a Yerush. So the simplest answer to that question, for dafyomi purposes, although ayin k'tzai sachoshin, etc., I think is that if we view the Baal as a lekeach, and lachamoisai also as a lekeach, the Gedad Varm is going to be that the Baal is not only a lekeach on the Peiros. We see him as a lekeach on the Guf as well. And he doesn't have the Guf. Yeah, but after learning the last few blot, we know there's a concept where somebody can buy something or get something as a gift where he owns it mehayoyim alachamisa. So the Geder of the Baal is going to be that right now he has a kinyan mehayoyim alachamisa on the Guf. He also has a kinyan the chalutin right now on the Peiros, but it's a lekeach, say on the Guf, say on the Peiros, ad kidekach, that after he dies, he's vaita going to be. The other side is that he's a Yerush. We view him as a Yerush now, and certainly after his wife dies, we're going to view him as a Yerush as well. Now, Lamai Nafkamina, why does it matter if the Baal's a lekeach, or if the Baal's a Yerush? Does it really make a difference? Yes. What's the Nafkamina? Some of the real intense sugyas and chas. This is not such a long Gemara, so we're going to go through this fairly quickly, but the Gemara immediately is going to bring different nafkaminas where it's going to play itself out. Whether we view the Baal, Bein Mechayim, Bein Lachamisa, L'shoyne Azov Shal HaRashbam, as being a lekeach in the Nechsem Alug, or do we view him as being a Yerush in the Nechsem Alug? What does it have to do with our sugya? That we're going to see as well. Says the Gemara, Shalach Le'avua, Bar Geniva L'Rava. So Avua, the son of Geniva, sent Rava. Who is Geniva? So Geniva of Masechtas Gittin fame, right? Not for now. But Geniva comes up in several places in Masechtas Gittin in some unflattering context. Geniva was a big Talmud Chacham, but he goes down a little bit in Chazal as the semel of someone that's a Talmud Chacham, but a Firsich Nisht in Bein Adam L'Chaveira, and when it comes to Midos and those in Yonim, necessarily the way a Talmud Chacham is supposed to. Talmud Chacham in Marbim Sholim Ba'olam. Once heard from an Adam Gadol, he said that if you want to know if someone's a Talmud Chacham, Chazal say Talmud Chacham in Marbim Sholim Ba'olam. If he's a Marbim Sholim, is that a Talmud Chacham? And if he's a Marbim Machloik, is Sarai, is not a Talmud Chacham. He said the measuring stick that Chazal used for someone being a Talmud Chacham, very simple. If he's a Mar B'Sholem, yeah. If he's a Mar B'Machloikis, Ef Shanish. But either way, Sholach Le'avu Bar Geniva L'Rava Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Lavsa the Achla the Amda V'Nises. It's all that happened. It's all the same person. A woman was Lavsa. She borrowed money. V'Achla, she spent it. So far, so good. The Amda, then she stood up. V'Nises. And she got married and then spent more money. But either way, love sava achla, va umda venisis, right? So this woman essentially is a loiva, right? She borrowed money and now she's also married. Now, this is very important. The loan was a milva alpet. This was not a milva bishtar. This was a milva alpet. So you have this woman who's a loiva because she borrowed money. The money is gone. The enenu ki lo kachoisai. And right now, she gets married. So cleret, avua bar geniva. Do we view the husband now who has schus in all the peiros and in really all the nechasim that this woman brought into her marriage via his schus of nechsim alog as being a lekeach or as a yerush? Now, this is just important. Let's call it an akimta to make things simple. And that is, we're going to assume in this marriage, all the money that she brought into this marriage was nechsim alog. It wasn't nechsit zayin barzel. Because the Shaila Baal Lekech, Baal Yerush, is only Negeya Nechsem Log. So we're assuming now that all the money that she brought in was Nechsem Log. And the Shaila was, do we look at the Baal Lekech, do we view him as a Yerush? What's the Shaila? Do we say, Lekech Ava, he's a Lekech, Umbil Vapeh, in the government of Al-Kuchmes. And as a result, if right now this woman, who had borrowed money, if her Malva comes, and the Malva goes to the woman and says, I want you to pay up the money that you owe me. She's like, listen, I don't have anything anymore. I got married. It's gone. Everything is gone. Chabgunish. Look at my ksuba. I have absolutely nothing. Okay, so go to the husband. So if we view the husband as being a lekeach, so really, what do you have? You have a malva that wants to be gover from the lekuchas. The halach is a milva bishnah. You can be gover from the lekuchas. But a milva alpeh, you can't be gover from the lekuchas. So if that's the case, lekeach haven, you won't be able to be gover. Or maybe we view the husband as being a yirish. Or milva alpeh, gover him an ayarshim. The halach is that if a man borrows money and then he dies, and now the yarshin the estate, the malva can go to the yarshin and it could be gaiva. So the question was whether Baal is yarish hava lekeich hava. What was the nafkamina? A real academic case. The case was where you have a woman who is a loiva, milval pen, now she gets married. Could the malva collect from the husband? If the husband's a lekeich, milval pen, you can't be gaiva from the lekuchas. If the husband is a yarish, milval pen, you could be gaiva from the yarshin. So either way, this is the question Abu Bar Geniva asked Rava. Amalei, Rava told him, Tonino, Avarayin from a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? The last Mishnah in Yesh Noichlin. What's the raya? Mishnah said, Nasu gdoilois, Yisu kitanois. Right? What did Mishnah say? In the event that a man died, he left over an estate. And before they had a chance to divide the estate, the Gedoyla got married. Now the Ketana wants to get married. So the halach is the Ketana can get married. If the Gedoyla got married from the Tfusas Abayas, the Ketana has a schutz to also get married from the Tfusas Abayas. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah was, Nasu Gedoylois, Yisu Ketanas. So Rava makes a bigger kimta. He says, my love, Nasu Gedoylois Lebal, obviously, if the Gedoylos got married to a Baal, Yisu Ketanois Mi Baal. Right? Makes a lot of sense. The Gedoyla got married. So if right now this Ketana is going to want to be made whole for the fact that she has to get married, she's going to have to take from her older sister. Her older sister got married already, which means who's she taking the money from? Essentially not from her sister, because her sister doesn't own anything anymore. Her sister's bankrupt right now. It's her husband that owes all the money. So essentially, Yisru Ketanas from who? It's Yisru Ketanas Mibal. So you see clearly that she has a right to take it from the husband. What's the kasha? The kasha is that if you're going to tell me that the husband is a loikeach, so mehecha teisni, you should be able to go ahead, you should take it from him. But the Gemara says, loy, nosu gedoilis labal, yisu ketanis labal. Nobody says you can take it. Meaning what we say is that once the gedoilah gets her money. So now you already have to arrange for the ketana to be able to be made whole. But it could be once the gedolah gets married, at that point, if you're going to want to go and take from the husband, it could be at that point, that's not something you're going to be allowed to do. But the Gemara says, Eini, because Vatani Rabchia taught a braisa, the halacha of Ishna, and he said in Mefurish, Nasu gedolah the baal, yisu ketanois mi baal. He said Mefurish, you could take it from the husband. So if you see Mefurish, you could take it from the husband. So what do you see from here? You see clearly you could take it, right? It's not libal, but it's Mefurish, Reb Chiya's Braisa, Mibal. But the Gemara says, Duma Shani Parnasot Islaikal. Maybe Parnas is different. And the reason Parnas is different is because Parnas is Islaikal. The way the Rashbam explains is very Gishmak. The Rashbam says that the reason that the halacha is that you can't collect from the lekuches sometimes, like mashal, milvapeh you can't take from the lekuches. What's the reason you can't take a milvapeh from the lekuches? It's because the lekech had no way of knowing about the milvapeh. And as a result, you're going to shut down the whole economy. If you're going to start saying that a person can do a business transaction, you could buy something, the next thing he knows, they're taking it away from him based on, if there's a shtar, so he knew about it. But if it was a milvah pet, he had no way of knowing about it. So there the halach is that you're not allowed to, there the halach is you're not allowed to take it away. But over here, when we're dealing with this parnasa, what's the story? The story is this man got married. He knows that his wife has a younger sister, and he also knows that his chasen was just paid for by the estate, which means he knows that at some point when his younger sister is going to want to get married, she's going to come to him. So even if we view him as a lekeach, but over here, it's poshet. It's over here, it's poshet. He would have to forfeit. He would have to give it up. So you can't bring any raya from here that he's not. Because the Olam, I'll tell you that he's a lekech. And afilu hachi, he has to give it. I, a lekech, b'chai gavna, really should not have to give it. The teretz in shani parnoso, the islay call it. Either way, so this was the shiloh. The shiloh was ba lekech, hava yerush hava. The reason we're talking about it here in the end of Yesh Noichlin is because we thought we had a raya from our Mishnah. The Gemara immediately deflected the raya. And the Gemara says, not so posh your deflection, because there's a braisa that would seem to suggest maybe our raya is a good raya, but the maisa, the Gemara was doichid either way. But regardless, now that we mentioned the shaylos, so from here until the end of the parak, the Gemara is going to discuss the shaylos. Amalei Rapapa the Rava. Rapapa told Rava, Lav hainu the shalach Ravin be garte this shaylos. Of Bali Keichava, Bali Yerushava. Isn't this something that Ravin once sent in his letter? So we know Ravin was one of the Chachmei Bavel who went to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and he came back and he Fakoyeft, a lot of Torah that he heard in Eretz Yisrael. But apparently he also sent a brief. He sent a letter. And in this letter, there seems to be some information that could help us resolve this question. So Rapapa tells Rava, isn't this Shaila really Mavur in the Igeres of Ravin? So what did Ravin's Igeres say? Misha Mesim, somebody died, Veniach, Amanu Bas, he left over an Amana and a daughter. So there's no sons. There's an Amana, there's a Bas. So the halach is, Almanasoi Nizoinis, Minichasa, the Bas Yarshins, and the Almana gets supported from the estate. Nisis Abbas, let's say the daughter got married, so the halach is Almanasa Nizoinis Minichasa. The halach is that the Almana gets supported from the Nechasim of the husband. Mesa Habas. What happens if the daughter then died? Amr Yehuda. Ben Achoisoy Shel Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Al Yodi Hoya Maisis, and I have such a story. For Omru and the Chachamim said Al Manasoy Nizoynis Menachasav, that even if she dies, when the Almana Nachasim, when the daughter died, and now her possessions were inherited by her husband, the Almana is still going to be able to be supported. In other words, what you see from Rav and Zigeris is that if a man dies and leaves an Almana and a Bas, the Almana gets supported from the Bas. Right? Almana Nizoinis Menechzi Yisayim. We know that, Allah. So it's true even from a Bas. And it's true even if the Bas gets married. So Rav Papa explained. He said, I'm a Bishlami Yairish Ava. Bishlami, if you're going to tell me that Baal Benechzi Ishtoi is a Yairish, Mishum Hachi Almanasi Nizoinis Menechasov, then I understand why the Almana gets supported. Eliyam, Lekeich Ava. But if you're going to tell me that the Baal is really Lekeich, Amai Nizoinis Menechasov, why does he get supported? And the background to the Gemara's Kasha says, Rashbam is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Perek HaNezakin. Ein Moitziyan L'mozin Ho'ishav Abonois Menechasov Mishubadim Ibnei Tikkun Oilam. There's a din that when you want to take money from Mozin Ho'ishav Mozin Habonois, you can never take it from the Lekuchas. So if you're going to tell me that the husband's a Lekeich, so how do you have a right to now go to the husband and take the money, L'chariya being Moitzi from the Lekuchas, Elamai must be a Yairish. You could take from the Yarshin, right? And you can take from the Yarshin, that's the Ikut HaKon of Amon and Nizoynis Menechzi Yisoymim. Now, the truth is, the Ikut HaKon of Amon and Nizoynis Menechzi Yisoymim is the ones that Yarshin directly from the father. This is already a daughter who Yarshin, now her husband Yarshin her. So this is like already a cliche-ni. but it's for Yerusha. So we know the takana is that you can be moitzi from Yerusha. So if the husband's a Yairish, even though he's a step removed, doesn't matter. Afilu hachi, it makes sense. But if he's a lekeach, that's already a mishnum, and they tikkun oilam, ein moitzi elam azein oisha. Minachasim, mishnu badim. Either way, so Rav Papa told Rava that Avua Bar Geneva sent you the shayla, and you were trying to bring a ride from Mishnah Yishnoichlin, and you trying to grab some raya from somewhere. What do you mean? This is Rav Zigeris. Everyone knows Rav Zigeris. It's Mefurish in the brief. Look at that tshuva that Rav said, and in that response, it's Mefurish. Look, this is the way it should have to be. So this is Rav Papa's time. So Abaya was there. Amar Abaya. Abaya listened, and he said, he loved the Sholach Rav and Anan Lo Yadinon. Were it not for the fact that Rav sent this letter, we would not have known that. In other words, Rav Papa's being Mechiach from Rav's letter, Baal Yerushav. Said Abaye, it's Poshet Bal Yerushav. And I don't even need Rav's letter. He said, Rav Papa, what do you need a letter for? You're getting excited. I'm asking to you. Rav is trying to find some sort of Raya. And I don't know why he's searching. But you're saying, why are you searching? What happened to Rav's letter? I mean, that's such a Kavamah remark in Rav's letter. But it's a Mishnah. The following are examples of different assets that traded hands that do not unwind by Yovel. So we know once upon a time, any steyachuzah that was sold, it was unwound by Yovel. But there are things that are not chayzim by Yovel. So Mishnah Masechtas Bechayrus. So what's an example? HaBechayra. Number one, a Bechayra. The Pishnayim that the Bechar gets, he keeps lechalutin. Even if Yovel comes, he still keeps it. What we need, ironically, is not that, but if someone yarshins his wife, so the halacha is that when Yovel comes, it does not get unwound. Why not? Because he got it, ostensibly, b'tayr sirusha, but said, Abaye, it's not so pasha. Because if you're going to tell me, like we spoke at in the introduction, that would mean that not only is a lekeach b'shmichayim, but he's lekeach even lachamisa. If that's the case, it's a regular mekach. If it's a regular mekach, that should be unwound. Elamai bal yerushava. So Abaye said, I agree with you, Rav Papa. I don't know why Rava was fun thing. It's pasha. But not as Ravin, the Amoyra's igeris. But Pashin, it's a Mefurish Mishnah. So the Gemara says, when Rava was there, Rava had a different reaction to our Papa. Again, let's just hold Cheshman here. Avu Bar Geneva asked Rava this question. Bala Keichava, Bala Yerushava. Rava starts searching. He's trying to come up with a little bit of an Eitzah. Abaye says, I understand. It's Ravin Zigeris. Abaye said, Ravin Zigeris. It's a Mishnah. Meaning, I agree with what you're sparring from Ravin Zigeris, but you don't need Rav and Zigeris to spar what you're sparring for Rav and Zigeris. You know from enough in the Mishnah. So Rav was there, and Rav also reacted to what our Papa said, but he actually had the reverse reaction. Amalei Rav, the hashtag, the shalach, miyodinon, I'm not sure what you're even proving from the Igeris. Abaye said, I understand what you're proving from the Igeris, but I don't know why you need the Igeris. It's a Mishnah. Rav, this sounds like a Hoda Omar Rav almost, but Rav says, I'm listening to this all now, and actually I see it exactly opposite from the way Abaye says it. Nah. Very shockingly, but I see the opposite. Meaning, I don't know about a Mishnah, and in fact, I don't even think you can prove it that a Baal Yerushava from Ravin, because I actually think Baal Yerushava. How do I know that? Because I'm Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina. Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanina said, "Beusha iskino, an usha they made a takana. Isha shemachor nechsam look bechayy baylo. A woman that sells her nechsam look while her husband's alive, umesa." And then she dies. The halach is that if a husband wants, he can go and he can take away the thing that the woman sold from the lekuchas. So again, when you talk about nechsam alug, the woman owns the underlying asset and the husband owns the payers. What would be if a woman would sell the nechsam alug b'chaye b'ayla? So the halach would be, obviously, it's not a mechira. Now, the underlying asset is sold, but like in the Mishnah, daf kuf lamed vav, the beneficiary would get nothing from it because she didn't have the schus peiris. All the income that it produces, the one that has the ishtamshus in it, that's going to be the husband. What happens if the woman dies? So you would think at that point the mechira is in effect. And the reason is because she sold it. She had a right to sell it. Like, mehayom elachamisa. Once she dies, the husband has no schusim in it anymore. Why doesn't the husband have schusim? Because the marriage is terminated. So if the marriage is terminated, so based on that, whoever received it, for sure should be able to keep it. Stating that, in Usha they made a takana, that umesa, and then she dies, habal meyotz miyad lekuches. The husband can go ahead and he can take it. It's a chiddush noira. It was a takana that was made in Usha. But Rav said like this, that what's the gather of the takana Usha? There's only one way to explain it, and that is baal keichava. Meaning, if baal keichava, now you can rationalize, and you could say that as soon as the husband and wife got married, the husband already bought the nechsa malon. He bought the peiros to be able to use right now. He bought the guf to be able to use meyayim lachamisa. She sold it. That lekeach is someone that bought something that had already been sold. He's the lekeach sheni. So Rava said, if you hold baal lekeach hava, I understand takonas usha. If, however, you hold that baal yoyrish hava, so that means that the husband was never a lekeach. He's a pesa yoyrish. Mechayim, he's like a yoyrish in the peiros, whatever that means. And then when she dies, he's going to be a yarish in the guf. But the point is, you can only yarshin something that your wife had at the time that she died. But if she sold it already, then you're too late. You have no way of yarshining it. So Rava says, you're bringing me rayas from Ravin's Igeris and from the Mishnah, that Baal what? The Baal yarish hava, just the opposite. Baal lekeach hava, the hashta the shalach, even after the, forget about your Mishnah, even after the Igeris, mi adinon, the halacha of the takana susha screams from the rooftops that baal lekeach hava. Because if baal is not a lekeach, then how do you make sense of takana susha? So what are we left with? Really, if you think about it, we're left with some stira over here. Is baal lekeach hava baal yerusha? Rav said like this, Abaye said like that. Everyone seems to have good rayas. We have Ravin's brief, which seems to say baal yerusha hava. We have the Mishnah b'chayres. Hayerusha is ishta enu chazeres b'yavah. That's a raya that baal yerusha hava. But then again, we have the takana susha, which seems to be baal lekeach hava. So it's very nice. Rav held his way, Abaye held his way. But what are we supposed to do? At the end of the day, the later Amoron, they were like a little bit unsure, like, what do you take out of this? So the Gemara says, Elo Amir Rav Ashi, it's a little magumgum the Lashon. But the Rashbam says, L'tariz al-kol elu advarim. Rav Ashi came and he says, let me be machriya. Right? He's the final authority, ki yodua in Shas. And Rav Ashi comes and he says, let me tell you how this plays itself out. Baal, shavur rabbanu ki yoyrish, v'shavur rabbanu ki lekeach, givaldik. Sometimes the husband's a yoyrish, and sometimes he's a lekeach. What does it depend on? It depends on whatever's best for him. The hechad the tavule of Dule, wherever it's good for him, that's what they do. Okay, so Gabi, Yoivo, Ba Yoivo, Shavriu Rabbanu Ki Yairish. Mishum say that today. We want him to be able to keep it even after Yoivo. So we say he's going to be a Yairish. Gabi, Rabbi Yosef, Pchanino, Shavriu Rabbanu Ki Lekeach. Mipshum say the day, right? Over there, we keep him as a lekeach. Why? Mipshum say the day. If he's going to be a lekeach, so like this will be the lekeach rishon, he'll be able to be mitzniyit miyad halakuches. Gabi de Ravin. Oh, what about Ravin? What about Ravin? So in Ravin's case, what's the halacha? In Ravin's case is that a man died, he left over an amana and a daughter. The daughter got married, the amana gets supported even from the husband. And we're saying that she can schlep it out of the husband. Why she should be able to schlep it out of the husband? You can't take it from the lekuchos. Right, that's a takana. The teretz is we're going to view him not as a lekeach, but rather as a yirish. So over here, we're viewing him as a yirish to his detriment. Right, so it doesn't stem with what we just said. So the Gemara says, "Gabi de Rabbi Mishum Seda da Almana Shnavur Rabbanon Ki Yairish." Over there, we looked out for the Almana more than we looked out for him. So as much as we're looking out for him, but that when it's him against his wife, but when it's him against this Almana, the Almana we look out for first. That's already Din Dayraisa. So when it comes to the Almana, that's a whole different Indian, and it's for that reason Shavur Rabbanon Ki Yairish. Right, the Gemara of Gabi de Rabbi Yosef Bechanina Dikab Seda Lulakuchos the Shavur Rabbanon Ki Lekeach. By the case of Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina, so we're looking out for him. Why are we looking out for him? Maybe look out for the lekuchos. And you see, you don't always look out for him. What's the raya? By the almano. So maybe here too, we shouldn't look out for him. So the Gemara says, "Hasam over there, inu afsidu anafshayo." The lekuchos messed up. Given the ikabal, but you buy a little mizba mi itza the yasva to segarfa. They should have known you don't do business with a married woman because of all the halachas of nechsa malog, and you realize that it's very possible that you're going to end up going down one of these roads. So she should have known, or the lekucha should have known not to do business. They went ahead and they chose to do business. This is already a taina on them, and as a result, the halacha is that as much as they're losing out, it's as if they asked for it, they forfeited it, they were miyayish from it. And therefore, we're going to look out for the benefit of the husband, not for the benefit of the lekuchos. And on that note, Hadron Halach Yesh Neichel. So just to end with one ha'ara, it was an intense stop, but just to end with one short ha'ara, which it's short, but it's going to tie in a few things that we spoke about in the last couple of weeks. And that is, so last week, we spoke a lot, two raid bites, about Shailos Teshuvas Rav Kiva Eger, Simin Kuf Chav Ches, which is also Shailos Teshuvas Chasam Soifa Evan Ezer Chela Galef, Simin Yud Gimel, where they discussed a Maisa Shehoya Kacht Hoya, in the times of Rav Kiva Eger and the Chasam Soifa, where there was a married man that had gone away for a few weeks, he came home, and he found his wife was Mezana with another man. Kemuvin, he was Pirish Me Ishtai, and 9 months or so from the time of this nus, she gave birth to a child. She gave birth to a son. 20 or so years later, there was a big tumult with regards to the nature of this son. Does he have a din of a mamzer, or does he not have a din of a mamzer? The man, the husband of this woman, said that this child is for sure not my son. How do I know that? Because I had been away from my wife for several weeks, and the child was born 9 months from when I came back. And oh, by the way, no, based on what I saw and based on what Adam said, that my wife was being Mizana. So it's poshet that the last time he said he was with his wife was 10 or so months ago. There's no way this is his child. The woman is saying, no, I'm positive that my husband is really the father of the child. The Muschel Rishon, it's Halach and Shulchan Aruch. It's in Evan Ezer, Simon Dalitz, of Chavtes, and it's based on a sugya, a Mishnah, really, Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, that a father's belief to say B'ni Zeh Mamzer is based on Rabbi Yehuda Shita and Yesh Neuchlin, that a father that says B'ni Zeh B'chayis is going to be not stating that. Rabbi Kedeh, the Chassam Sofer, they wrote a whole tshuva that even though a father's belief to say is B'ni Mamzer, but it could be in this case and all cases that are similar to that, you'd be able to be make. It was really based on three Shitas Arishayim: Shita from the Bahag, a Shita from the Tosis Rid, and a Shita from the Riyaz. The Bahag said that although it's true a father's belief to say it's only when he's making one of his sons a Bechar. So if a father's going to say that one of my sons is a Bechar, and by doing that, it's going to implicate another one of the sons as being a Mamzer. So for example, a father walks into Bezin one day, he says, my second son, he's my Bechar. Your second son is your Bechar. And then what's your first son? He says, oh, my first son is not really my son. So being that a father has an amanus to say B'ni Zeh Bechar, Mimela, included in that is that it's even Neman to say B'ni Zeh Bechar, B'makim, where he's implicating his older son and suggesting that that son is going to be a man. But Stam in the Velterite to say B'ni Zeh Mamzer, that not. It's a Shittas Abahag. Tosis brings it in Yesh Neuchlin, Kuf Chav Zayin Amadeus. Tosis brings in Perek Achayos, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam. We don't paskin like it, but I feel like there is such a shita. There is such a shita sabahak. The shita of the Tosis read is that the only time a Oymer B'ni Zeh Mamzer is Neman is if the wife is not being makrish. But if the wife is being makrish, she's saying it's not true, the child is your son, then already the father is not going to be believed. We don't paskin like this Tosis read. But at the same time, it is a shita sarishayinim. So that's shita Tosis read. And then you have the shita of the Riyaz, who says that this that Oymer B'ni Zeh Mamzer Neman is only if the father is saying it's my son. So he's saying it's my son, but you should know my son's a Mamzer. He says he was born a Chavi Krisus, and that's how he had this child. But if he says it's not my son, then you have no namanis. And again, we don't pass like that either. It's Bak Tzein and Shulchan Aruch. Afilu Oymer She'enoi B'ni, the Allah is Harez Namamzer Vada. But at the same time, said Rabbi Kivegan, the Chassam Sofer, that you have these three Shitas Arishayim that we don't pass like, but we could be Mitzarif them to create a little bit of a suffix. It was also Mitzarif the fact that maybe she was Nivela to a guy, which we said is a Chiddish, because the Beis Shmuel says many times in Siman Dala that we're never Chayish that an Ish is Mazana with a guy. Based on the Chem Deshloim and Ebenezer Simen Aleph. Again, this is all raid that we went through Ba'arucha last week. But it's enough to create a Svek Sveika. And we said that this Psak, this Tshuva from Kiveger and the Chassam Sofer, went down as a Tshuva L'dayrus. Because Bavoy Neseinu HaRabim, Shailas like this, cross Rabbanim's desk too often, and G'dayli Oylam and their tshuvas and Evan Ezra Chalik had to deal with shailas like this, and every single time they handled a shaila like this, they started with the Mishnah and Kedushin and Ches on the days, with the Psak and the Mechaber and Evan Ezra Simon Dal Sifchav Tes, and with the tshuvas from Kivega and the tshuvas Chassam Sofer. This is something which we said, you see the kayach that Chassam Sofer of Kivega had in the world of Ayra, Mamish Dvarim Neflam Adlamoy. One of the tshuvas that we talked about, one of the big meshivin that relied heavily on this Tshuvas Chassam Sofer and the Tshuvas Rav Kiva Eger is Remeir Arik. And it's in his Shailos Tshuvas Imre Yoishner. It's in Simen Kuf Yodal. The Shailah that he was asked was very similar to the Shailah that Rav Kiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer were asked. And we said that he went about it in a very, very similar way. He says, Kvar Hoyru Skeinim. We have Hayrat from the G'dayli Olam, and as a result, it's Pashit. That's the precedent. This is the Shulchan Aruch of how you're supposed to go about such a Shaila. Now, the Shoyol in that Shuvah from the Imre Yosher was the Av Bezdin of Chabin. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Levi. That was his name. He was the Av Bezdin of Chabin. And he wrote to Rameir Arik the Shaila that he had, and he said that he went through the Shaila with the Dombra of Aruf. The Dombra of Aruf was the Chazoy Nochum. So the Chazoy Nochum was the Dombra of Aruf, and that's what he went through the Shaila with. Incidentally, at the end of the Tshuva, he also quotes the Dombra of Aruf's brother, the Chubin Rav, the Baal Dovim Meisharim, whose yard site is this week, by the way. And he quotes the Dovim Meisharim, and they were all discussing it together. Now, the connection between Rameir Arik and Chubin is Rameir Arik was a Talmud of the Koichim Yaakov, he was a Talmud Muvik of the Chubin Rav's father. And either way, he's part and parcel of this, the Chubin Mishpach Goyne Yoylam Kiyadua. But regardless, so everything that the Shoyal is telling Rameir Arik is really based on the conversation that he had with the Dombrov Aruf. So Toich Dvarov, he tells him that you should know, Va'agoyim mi Dombrov, he wanted to say a Dovin Nifla. Bederech Agav, it's Agav in this Tshuva, but it's not so Agav in our Reb writes. Bederech Agav as it relates to this, and that is. So he mentioned the sheet of the Bahag. The Bahag says that although Ha'oimah B'nizah Mamzer Nema, based on Shitas Rav Yehuda, that a father is believed to say B'nizah Bechar. If he's believed to say B'nizah Bechar, he's also believed to say B'nizah Ben Grush Ben Chalutza, like the Gemara says, and he's also believed to say that B'nizah Mamzer. But the Bahag said a Chiddush, that's only true if you're going to say that your one of your other sons is a Bechar, and somehow it's going to, by definition, mean that the other son's a Bechar, meaning your second son is the Bechar. Oh, that means the older son is a Mamzer. So for that, Oim Ebenizah Mamzer. Never. But in the Velterain to say Oim Ebenizah Mamzer, that you're not going to be believed. The Rosh in Yesh Neuchlin brings the Bahag. Like Tosis brings the Bahag. And the Rosh asks a bunch of kashas on the Bahag. One of the kashas that he asks on the Bahag is from the Mishnah. The Mishnah, not even the Gemara. From the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Ches on the Beis and Kedusha. Because the Mishnah says that this set of fathers believed to say Ebenizah Mamzer is true even if the child is an Ober. Even if the child is a fetus, afilu hachi, the father's believed to say, B'nizah Mamzer. And the Bahag asked, the Rosh asked on the Bahag, says, I don't understand. If the only time a father's believed to say, B'nizah Mamzer is if he's saying that one of my sons is a Bechar, that says, there was an older son and a younger son. And you're saying the younger son is the Bechar. What do you mean? What happened to the older son? Oh, he's a Mamzer. That's when he's going to be believed. But stamp to say, B'nizah Mamzer now. So Freik the Rosh, how is it possible that the Mishnah says that a father's believed to say on an Uber that this child is a Mamzer? If this child is an Uber, there can't be a younger child that you're making a Bechar. Meaning if the Nemanus is B'nizah Bechar, and by the way, just to bring out how sharp this kash is, a lot of Achreinim say, the Nesiva says this, and Achreinim say that you know what the Bahag means? The Bahag means that you have two sons. Right? And you're walking into Bezin not to talk about the older son. You're not even talking about him. You're walking into Bezin to say, B'nizah Bechar, L'may Nafkemina, he's going to get the Pishnayim, whatever it is. So the halach is, you're Nemon, even if it means, oh, that the older son, who's not in Bezin, who you're not talking about, is going to be a Mamzer. But the point is, you have to be walking into Bezin and saying, regarding the younger son, he's who's the younger son? If the older son is an Uber, that means by definition the younger son wasn't born yet. If he wasn't born yet, so there's no Shaila in Bezdin. He is the Bechar, he's not the Bechar, he's not born. Let him be Yotzal Avar Olam, and when he's Yotzal Avar Olam, then we're going to figure it out. But if he's not Yotzal Avar Olam, then there can't be a Shaila of whether or not he's a Bechar, and if it can't be a Shaila of whether or not he's a Bechar, so it's a plea. This is one of the Rosh's Kashas, it's Sorchin Godel, and it's a Raya that what the Bahag said is Mama Chappelle. So Ramei Arik said that the Dombra Baruv wanted to say a Teretz Nifla, and that's based on the Vilna Goyen that we spoke out in the end of Yesh Leuchlin. And that is the Goyen said, Gevaldige Chiddush. Pasha, we understand that when it comes to determining a Bechar, let's say a father has two sons from two different wives, right? So which one of his sons is going to be the Bechar? Of course, it's the son that was born first, right? Obviously, that's what it is. That's the definition of a Bechar. Your oldest son is going to be a Bechar. But the Vilna Goyen said an unbelievable Chiddush. The Vilna Goyen said it's not true. The Vilna Goyen said that the Bechar is not the child that was born first. The Bechar is the child that was conceived first. The pasuk says, "Ki hu reishis oinoi," and whoever is the reishis oinoi, that's the child that's going to be the bechor. The goyin learned it up in the psukim in Parshas Kiseitze. Right? Remember, the goyin had four kashas on the psukim. The pasuk says, "Ki siyena leishtei nashim achas ahuva v'achas snua v'yodu loy bonim ahuva v'asnua." Right? Someone has two wives, ahuva and asnua, and he has a son from the ahuva son, and has a son from the snua. So the Torah says the if the older one is from the sneer, and lo yuchel avaka, you can't stop playing games and make the ben ahuva al pnei ben asnua habachar. Ki as abachar ben asnua yaku. Why? Ki ureishin soni. And the guy said, I don't know. What's the havamina? You have a havamina that you can make the other son the bachar. Whoever's the oldest, that's the one that's the bachar. And Torah has to give me a reason. Ki ureishin soni. Why is the Torah giving me reasons? Also, the guy said, well, what do you have a ben asnua? Well, you hate. Jews don't hate people. What does that even mean? You're not allowed to hate her. So if you're not allowed to hate her, how do you have a hachas snua? Yaakov and Leah, that's a good kasha. But the bottom line is, it's the hasnua. How could it be a snua? And he said, not just that. If you read the pasuk, it says, v'yoldu loy banim ho ahuva v'asnua. It sounds like the ahuva was actually born before the snua, right? The ben ahuva was born before the ben asnua. So what's going on? So the goyin said a chiddush. The goyin said the pasuk is talking about not a man that had two wives at the same time. Man was married and he divorced his wife. And the reason he divorced was kimatza be'erves davar. And if somebody finds an erves davar by somebody, mitzvah l'snoisei, mutter l'snoisei, ein psachim kuf yud gimel, then already there's no, and that's the snua. He gave her a get. And then afterwards he got married again, and this time he's happily married to a ben ahuva. And it turned out that both of his wives were pregnant. Obviously, the ben snua became pregnant before the ahuva did. He was married to the snua before he was married to the ahuva. But the ahuva gave birth to a child before the snua gave birth to a child. V'yodu loy banim, ho ahuva first, v'asnua second. Says the Torah, you would have thought that who should be the bechor? For sure the ben ahuva should be the bechor. Why? Because that's the child that was born first. Says the Torah, lo yuchel avakas ben ahuva al pnei ben asnua bechor. Why? Because kihu reishis oinoi loy mishpata b'chayr. Because who was conceived first? It was the ben asnua. And what we care about is reishis oinoi, and he is the koychi reishis oinoi. And because that child is reishis, so the going said everything is miyushim. It says v'yodloy banim ahuva, so it's true. Because the ahuva gave birth before the snua gave birth. You want to know why he has a right to hate her? Because he was matzav erev davar. Forget that's why he gave her a get. What was the Havamina Yuchel Avakir? Because, no, the Ben Ahuva was born first. I for sure would have thought the Ben Ahuva is the Bechar. And you know why the Torah has to give me a reason? Because it really doesn't make any sense why it shouldn't be that way. That's what the Torah is coming to do. The Torah is coming to me, Megala. It's interesting. I was thinking, and Menachem Olomowski told me I was Mechavan to his son. And that is, the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, we once spoke about this. Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva, this is the Chelek Vav. So he asks that we know that there's a Cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom, right? We also know that the Taz says in a few places that even though the Chachamim have a right to go ahead and they have a right to make a takana, yesh koich bi Chachamim lakadavim in atayr b'shav al taisa, sometimes even mekum va'aseh ki yodua, right? But at the same time, to be oikir davim in atayr legamri, that's not something we're allowed to do. It's known as the Taz ha'yodua, right? It's known as the Taz ha'yodua. So Chassam Sofer in Chelek Vav, the Shoyl asked him, it's in Tshuva Nun Beis, he says, I don't understand. How was Rabbeinu Gershom able to make a takana that you're not allowed to marry two wives? L'chayra, in the pasuk, it's mefurish you're allowed to marry two wives. Where do you see it in the pasuk? Kisiyenu l'ishtei noshim ha'achas ahuva v'achas asnu. The man has two wives. So if he has two wives, it's mefurish in the pasuk. You can have two wives. If it's mefurish in the pasuk, you can have two wives. So what happened to the taza yedua? So l'chayra l'fizet half like the guy, and it's not what's going on. So I looked up this morning in Rav David Cohn Shlita's Sefer HaTazi Yudu, we did a whole read bite on this once. In Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom. So he has on the Ches, Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom, he brings the Chassam Sofer, the Tshuva, the Chassam Luzer on this. And at the end, he says, Oid Yesh Loimar, he writes, To a Mefurish Pekrosh, Ayu Ashtay Noshim, Nesuri Yisloi Bezmanech Vetzorachin. He says, the MSM, I'm not 100% sure because it's not Mefurish anywhere in the pot. The truth is, the Goyin said Mefurish, that wasn't the case. The Goyin answered four kashas by saying that. That's really not what happened. But the bottom line is, there's no Mefurish apostle that you could have two wives. Because the Achas Asnu, the Achas Ahuva, he was actually married to them at different times. Oh, but the bottom, this was the chiddush of the guy. This was the chiddush atzum that the guy said. So said the Dom Rav Aruv, like the guy, and you could say it's half of a fell. It's talking about there was a man who had two wives. He had two wives. And from his two wives, he had a bechor. He had a child. One wife became pregnant first. The other wife gave birth to a child first. And he walks into Beis Din right now. And he says that this child that was born, B'ni Zeh Bechor, They say, B'ni Zebachar? What do you mean, B'ni Zebachar? There's an older child. How could there be an older child? Yeah, it's an Uber. How could an Uber be older? The Torah says the Goyen. Because the Goyen said the Bechor is not who was born first. It's Loi Mishpata Bechor. It's Kiureishas Oimer Loi Mishpata Bechor. It's the one that was conceived first. Zok the Mishnah. That Oimer B'ni Zeh Mamzer Neman. Even if the Mamzer is going to be an Uber, how's it Shaykh? How's it Gemalt? If the kid's an Uber, there's no young... The Torah says there is a younger child. Younger child, then it's for sure an Uber. No, there's a younger child that was born. But then it's older, the Goyen. This Goyen, he said, would be Miyashu Deskash. So Ramaisa, so Rabbi Yaakov Levi, the Gaivit of Chabin, he writes to Rameir Arik that this is what he heard from the Dumbra of Aruv. So Rameir Arik writes back as follows. Rameir Arik was a big Kharif, so there's no question. He had a tremendous geschmack in this Kharif, as he writes like. He says, V'imki dvar chochmohu. It's a dvar chochma. Aval chas v'sholom letaritz divrei abahag bedover t'mir kazeh. He says that Yisoid is such a pella, chas v'shalom. Now, it's actually interesting because we mentioned this when we spoke about this the first time, that some say over the Zvar B'Shem the Goyin, others say over the Zvar B'Shem Reb Chaim V'Loshen. That's not that shava between all the people that say it over, nobody understands it. It's like too mechudish thing. But he said it over B'Shem Reb Chaim V'Loshen. But he said, aval chas v'shalom l'taris, kashik kvar his'oir b'chach m'shloima, that's from Shloima Kluger, sha'adova muchrech d'lo yozlina b'pchar rak basa leida, v'loi basa ibur, d'ho yoitze doifenein b'char, etc., etc. Skipping to the end, he says, "V'loya amin klal sheyotza dover zem ipi atzadik agoyin Reb Chaim V'loshen azatzal the koydem liibu who bechar chas v'sholem." Do not say that. He says, "No way in the world this ever happened." He says, "It's a dvar chachma. It's a real charifos." He said, "But the goyin or Reb Chaim V'loshen ever say this?" He said, "I highly suspect it." Either way, just to wrap up some of the raid that we spoke about in the last 2 weeks, and on that note, Tzim Tzveitin Mal Hadron Aloch Ish Noichlin.